Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
Welcome back. Daniel Horowitz is one of the young men I admire most in the national political discourse these days. He is a senior editor at a terrific outfit, Conservative Review, where he authors its Conservative Consciousness. He is the author of a very important book on a subject we're going to address squarely here in a moment, Stolen Sovereignty: How to Stop Unelected Judges from Transforming America. Daniel Horowitz, I know you watched the debate last night. I'm anxious to get your thoughts on it and into several other topics, but I'm very pleased to have you back. Welcome.
No, it's great to be with you. And yes, I am very tired. And unfortunately, there are so many other things I would have much rather lost sleep over than this.
Yeah. Just an overall assessment of how the candidates performed.
You know, the dynamics in politics haven't changed since 1988. When the election is about issues, our side wins. When it's about personalities, our side loses. And, you know, what was on display last night was literally just a shouting match over personalities, over personal hits, over personal comments, dealings. The small amount of the debate that was about issues, I don't know, it sounded like a Democrat primary. I mean, the fiscal stuff, you know, Trump was endorsing protectionism. He was endorsing, I don't even get it, universal child care, although he said not the same amount in numbers that Hillary would. I mean, this is literally the pale pastels we've had for years. We kind of knew that about Trump already. You know, what we were hoping for was a strong performance on immigration, on national security. But even on those issues, he missed the opportunity to talk about homegrown terrorism when he was asked about it, talk about the refugees, Hillary's 550% increase, her plan to bring in more refugees, the internet giveaway. He could have talked about Obamacare, which is just it's a disaster. This is the first presidency after Obamacare, the signature issue of his presidency. It did not make an appearance one time. Again, if it's about refugees, Obamacare, the internet giveaway, Hillary has no defensible leg to stand on.
Let me ask you about a couple of things you just touched on there. One is this immigration issue. You've recently written about something that Michael Cutler and I talked about earlier in the program, which is the impact that immigration, legal as well as illegal, the impact that they're having on sort of the economy, the social safety net, if you will, the educational system, and in your piece, you've specifically focused in on taxpayers. Talk about what is the repercussion of this kind of policy, malfeasance.
You know, the left always likes to engage in economic bean counting and say the more people from the third world you bring in, the larger our GDP grows, which is just ridiculous. I mean, obviously, the more people you bring in, the pie expands, but it's GDP per capita that matters. But more so, when you discuss the fiscal drain, the National Academies of Sciences, Engineering, Medicine, they published a painstaking study. It's about 500 pages long, very academic, very impressive on the cost of immigration at large. And they came up with a number, several scenarios, and one scenario was $296 billion a year. There's a net fiscal deficit of almost $300 billion from our immigration policy. The reason why this is so significant is that there are certain things that, you know, God deals a country with. You know, you could have bad weather, topography, geography, cultural problems, health problems. Immigration is an elective policy, so it should only be a net positive. We should have no criminal elements, no public charges. These were the principles on immigration we've harbored, as I noted in my book, Stolen Sovereignty, since the colonial times, since when the states controlled immigration, certainly since the Fed started regulating in 1875. We have never brought in any fiscal drain, health concerns, security concerns, criminals. And that is exactly what we're doing. It's not to say they're all like that, but there are way too many. And for an elective policy, especially given the supply and demand, everyone wants to come here. We should only be bringing in the best of the best, and certainly those that could support themselves, grow the economy. Yet it's a fiscal drain. And as I note, this is taking place while we've had some discussion on refugees, the Islamic immigration, but there is a silent surge in Central Americans and Cubans that are coming here specifically to get on our welfare programs. They get asylum status, refugee status, or special protected status, and the American people are being fleeced, and no one's speaking about this.
Daniel, let me turn to another piece of this story of the courts and what they are doing that is, well, fundamentally transforming America. And that seems to be eviscerating our voting requirements and any sensible policy to assure that only people who are actually entitled to vote get that opportunity. Talk, if you would, a little bit about sort of voting fraud and what the courts are doing at the moment.
Teddy Roosevelt once said that there's no enemy of free government more dangerous and none so insidious as the corruption of the electorate. And it's bad enough if you had Democrats as a matter of policy that wanted to block election integrity measures. But the problem is you have the courts doing it as a matter of law. They're enshrining voter fraud into the Constitution or into a statute, and this is going to prevent us from winning any close elections, which, you know, elections are really growing closer and closer in many states. They're determined by less than 10,000 votes. Just at first, in general, what they've been doing, we have a series at Conservative Review where we go through the court cases over the last couple of months. They've been mandating not just early voting, but a specific number of days of early voting. They've been mandating non-citizens voting through the back door by preventing states from asking for proof of citizenship. They've been requiring same-day registration. In the most recent case in Ohio, they struck down the longstanding process of the state that they used to clean the voter rolls of just dead wood. Literally, there were 465,000 dead voters that were taken off the registration by the Secretary of State. You had 1.3 million duplicative voters. Again, even with no bad players here, people die, people move on, people move out of the state, people become ineligible, felons. You got to take care of that. And it's scandalous to tell people you don't want them to do and to lodge a lawsuit against that. It's almost an admission. Culpability of pursuing voter fraud, but the courts are now saying, contrary to statute, which requires states to clean their voter rolls, that you can't do that. So literally in Ohio, keep in mind, Republicans have never won in over a century without Ohio. Be very close. In that state, there's going to be at least 1.5 million names placed back on the rolls, names that were deemed ineligible.
And you mentioned that among them, some 465,000 may be dead. So this is a formula for massive fraud, needless to say.
And they all seem to vote Democrat.
They do. Isn't that peculiar, even the moldy ones? Let me ask you, finally, I talked earlier in the program with Rick Manning about this Internet surrender. Very quickly, what's at stake there?
What's at stake is the freedom of the Internet. It's liberty and national security. So to begin with, to give over something like this, even to a private American company, would violate antitrust laws. We would never tolerate it domestically. But somehow, if you give it over to an international tribunal, the control over internet, over IP domains, with countries like Iran, China, and Russia having tremendous influence, somehow the left is okay with that. And obviously, right away, you could imagine the .gov websites, the sensitive security information. You see Russia's ability to hack into our systems even now. Imagine what it's going to look like later. Imagine Secure Freedom website, what that's going to look like.
Won't be pretty. Erectile dysfunction drugs or something worse, I can't imagine. No, we've already got a bit of that, but it could only get infinitely worse. Hey, Daniel, this is a subject we'll return to. I'm afraid if we don't succeed in the next couple of days, bemoaning the loss of the Internet. But I'm calling on every one of our listeners to rise up and try to prevent this from happening. Keep it up, my friend. Come back to us soon. I hope the rest of you will come back to us again tomorrow. Same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Afty. Thanks for listening.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.